I just wanted to share with you some thoughts about what is presently happening concerning the virus. And the title of this study is Why God Took Sunday Away. A lot of times we look at a tragedy like the virus solely from our human perspective. How does it affect me? What changes do I have to make? This is really going to alter my lifestyle. I might lose my job. My finances are in trouble. How am I going to care for my family at home? In the beginning, it might feel like a vacation, time off, an escape to enjoy oneself. And yet, the longer we're isolated, the more we may feel that this is really not too much fun, that we've become restricted in ways in which we hadn't planned on. The loneliness of this isolation may be a little overwhelming. The trials associated with the virus can become devastating. The worldly perspective of the virus is oftentimes full of fear, and this is a natural response because the world has no hope. Something happening on such a grand scale would affect everyone with massive doubts, worries, and questions. No matter what the world leaders may tell us, there is still the underlying fear that life can get a lot worse, and there is nothing we can do about it. Man is helpless in the face of this contamination. Man can only hope that there'll be an end to it without dying from it in the process. The Christian, on the other hand, can look at this situation and realize that God is in complete control, that we are in His hands, that fear doesn't profit anything, but trusting in Him is sufficient. Our hope is in Him, not the devices and plans of men. And so when the world asks us where our God is during this time of crisis, our answer is very simple and straightforward from Psalm 115, verse 3. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases. We're fully confident that this virus comes from Him and that He has His good purposes behind it. Whether man believes this truth or not doesn't really matter. The Christian rests in the God of sovereign providence, working all things together for the good of those who love Him. When we see a virus affecting the entire world, we know that He wants to get our attention in a very big way. This is a worldwide announcement from heaven. Yet rather than look at this infection as it affects the unsaved world, I want us to take a moment to consider what God may be preaching to His church, His people. Sunday, the Lord's Day, is gone. God has taken it away. We might try to soften the blow by resorting to live stream services and internet studies, but we realize immediately that this is not the way the church should be. Gone is the corporate physical gathering of fellow believers. We have never experienced this before on such a wide scale. Gone are our fellowship dinners, our physical presence at prayer meetings and worship services. The bodily reality of the church gathering together has been taken away by God. Now we must scramble for ways of meeting with one another without coming near to one another. We might feel that there is a sense of togetherness on the internet or our phones, and yet we know that something is missing. It has been the truth about social media from the very beginning. It is actually not all that real nor sociable. It is a poor replacement for gathering together on the Lord's Day to glorify our God and to fellowship with His people. It does not feel right. We all sit alone, contemplating ourselves, contemplating our phones, our lives, our computers, contemplating the functioning of our Christianity in such a strange circumstance. Understand, God is in control of it all. It is during times like these that I like to ask the question, "Why, God? What are you trying to teach your church?" You see, we have to learn to turn away from our own needs and desires and fears for the moment and start to try and see things from God's perspective. Why would God take away Sunday? Why would He take Christians out of the workplace, out of schools, out of stores, relegating us to our homes without any witness to the world around us? The gospel has been boarded up in so many ways. Sure, we can still speak to people on the internet, but have you considered how the gospel has been closed down? So many venues which provided opportunity are now empty. Our spiritual workload has been reduced, much like the workers of this world who have lost their jobs. Yet why, God? Why have you taken Sunday away? There may be several reasons for this judgment in different sectors of this world. Yet, in a very real sense, I believe that this is a judgment upon his people. God has a variety of purposes for bringing this virus among us, yet the church needs to wake up and listen to his voice during this time of isolation. Let me try to address a key reason for why I believe God has brought this judgment on us, on the church. And perhaps we can come through this time as a changed people, more devoted to the Lord and his work, more focused on him than on ourselves. In looking at our present condition, I believe we should understand that the virus is a judgment upon the Lord's day. There are many reasons from God for the infection in our midst, yet I believe that this is one glaring fact to be seen in this trial. Church is closed. We're out of business. God has eradicated worship on his day. He has taken Sunday away. Yet for what reason? Surely he would want us together, singing, praying, hearing the word preached, doing all the things we used to do. Isn't this what he desires from his people? How can he close down our corporate worship? I believe he is sending us the message that he has not been pleased with what we are doing to his day of worship. Therefore, he has shut it down for the time being, and perhaps we might get his message. Looking back on our past behavior, do you think we've really been honoring the Lord's day and keeping it holy? Do you really think God is pleased with our obedience to his fourth commandment? Many in the church have eradicated the fourth commandment from their thoughts. We do not remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy as God commands. Israel did this to their Sabbath in the Old Testament and found themselves under the judgment of God. He took away their day of worship by sending them into exile. Therefore, in seeing what is presently happening to the church, do we really think God is pleased with the way we respond to his day? Try to see this from his perspective. What used to be the Lord's day has now turned into the Lord's hour. We race to church, do our Christian duty, then head back into the world to enjoy ourselves with what is left of the day. Gone are the times of evening services, afternoon fellowships, solid and consistent and constant preaching, abstaining from work and play on Sunday so that we can enjoy the people of God and the Lord. Pastors reduce their preaching to once a week when the church is screaming for food as they starve. Sunday has become optional for Christians. If there's a party, a sporting event, a TV special, a baseball or hockey game, a lawn to cut or windows to wash, then sure, we can opt out of church because we think that those events are more important and vital to our own pleasure. Surely God would not deny us just a little bit of fun, a little bit of pleasure or business on his day. I hope we realize that the world, the flesh, and the devil have made a concerted effort in eradicating the importance of the Lord's day from the church, and we have gone along with it. Business thrives. Sports events flourish. Christians think nothing of running after the things of this world on his day. After all, one service a week is sufficient, isn't it? I've done my duty to God, now let me do my thing. Thus, our compromises have led us into judgment. The spiritual life of the church in our day is full of compromise. Our people walk like the world, and these compromises, these weaknesses, are accepted by the church. You may not be convinced that Sunday is our Sabbath for the Lord. You may think that the fourth commandment has been abrogated, tossed away, and of no concern to the Christian in this century. Yet we fiddle around with arguments about the validity and application of the fourth commandment while the church burns to the ground under God's judgment. We try to convince ourselves that it's an outdated commandment, inapplicable to us, unnecessary in these modern times, too constraining, asking too much of us. So with our superior excuses, we sit back and tell ourselves and God that we're going to do as we please. He can have me for an hour, for one sermon, and that's enough, even though he demands the day. If that is our choice, then God will agree with us and give us up to our own lusts and desires. He has taken Sunday away, according to our own passions. And here is the worst part. We're teaching the next generation very clearly that Sunday is not important, that it is optional, that it does not need to be a major discipline in the lives of our children. Parents who do not bring their children to church, to Sunday school, to the evening services, to the times of worship, parents who give their children the option to obey or not obey the Lord. And we'll see this next generation fall prey to immense worldliness, and the church will be gone. If we'll not see the importance of his day, then he will eradicate it for us and the next generation, just as he did with Israel. Perhaps with the loss of Sunday and the weeks ahead, we'll begin to see its necessity and we'll stop fooling around as we compromise the fourth commandment. God is saying to us, if you not honor my day, I will take my day away from you. Perhaps we should listen to the blessed promise which God makes to his people in Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. The Lord says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. The question comes, will we repent and change our behavior? When all of this is over, will we have changed? Or will we remain the same lukewarm church we started out as? God will give us time to think about this. He will give pastors time to think about their ministries and their role in shutting down the Lord's day. He will give them time to think about preaching more, teaching more, preparing messages while they're on their forced sabbatical. He will give congregations the opportunity to be at home, to be still, and know who the Lord is. Yet, will we be any different on the other side of the virus? I wonder. God is speaking, but are we listening to his sermon?